Rush Hour with Luke Brendam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Welcome to the jungle.
Hey, thank you for joining us on the podcast. Big show today. Tony Cochran, the man responsible for the AFL Grand Final pre-match and halftime entertainment, joins us. We'll find out how he dealt with the criticism that some people, I thought, unfairly threw his way. Also, Christmas decorations appearing around the Gold Coast. We'll touch on that. Tim Mander, running for Parliament this weekend, the state election, but also a former top NRL referee. He'll run the rule over what he thought of the officiating last night in the big grand final. Dobbo joins us. The Queensland State of Origin side are calling the Gold Coast home. He'll give us the inside word of what's happening there. I just about threw up while I was out trying to buy a toilet on the weekend. And Matty Bevilacqua joins us. He almost made a mistake up on the sunny coast yesterday that cost him $10,000. You can hear that and a whole heap more if you listen to this. It's the catch-up, and it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Now, I think every grand final weekend, we always compare the two entertainments from the NRL and the AFL. You know that I am a massive rugby league fan. I'm so parochial with the rugby league that I can hardly ever say that the AFL was better than the NRL on any level. Well, give me a drum roll, please, because I've got an announcement to make. And that is, not only was the AFL grand final a better game than the NRL grand final, but the entertainment left the AFL entertainment left the NRL entertainment for dead, my humble opinion. And a man responsible for it is joining us right now, Tony Cochran. G'day, mate. How are you?
Hey, Luke. How's things?
Good, mate. Now, how did you rate the AFL entertainment? Obviously, you and your wife were responsible for it. You whacked it all together in 6 weeks, which is quite incredible. But mate, the reviews were mixed, but I thought you guys absolutely nailed it.
Well, you know, you always get, when any time you do anything like that, you get the puddlers, as I suggest, who jump onto social media and can tell you what's wrong. And, you know, actually, when you analyse what they've done with their lives, they've actually been able to work out how to vaguely type on a phone, you know. But...
That's so true. Let me just, before you go on that, Tony, because honestly, just before I got you on, I just Googled the reviews and I was rereading them, and they are, like, for the most part, I think the AFL won hands down. But does that sting, mate? Because there was some cutting sort of comments made with regards to the entertainment, and like, you got to have thick skin to be in your game. But did it sting, considering you had 6 weeks and you bloody put it together, mate? It absolutely rocked. But did any of the criticism stink?
No, because it's coming from a bunch of, you know, they're not has-beens because they've never been.
Yeah, right.
But the truth of the matter is, forget what I think or you think, on Saturday night, the AFL Grand Final had a 76% audience share.
Wow.
So what does that mean? That
means no one was watching. Hey, Tony, I'll tell you what it means. It means no one was watching my weather on Channel 9, which was in opposition to it at the time.
Correct. I mean, that means over the 16 free-to-air channels, 76% of the audience were watching one channel, and 24% were watching the other 15.
Unbelievable.
And that's Olympic Games almost stuff. That's not quite Olympic Games, but it's getting very close to Olympic Games sort of stuff. So it just rated its bum off.
Good on you.
And, it doesn't matter what I think or you think, because people voted with their feet. Had an average audience of 4 million nearly the whole night.
Yeah. And so, Tony, what do you think this means for the future of AFL Grand Finals? Because a lot of people down south, you know how traditional they are in Victoria, mate.
Sure.
They love that afternoon Grand Final. But given that the TV audience was up on previous Grand Finals when it's in the day, it looked better on TV. It was a better spectacle, despite the fact we couldn't even have a sellout crowd. It just looked fantastic. Do you think we've seen the end of day grand finals for AFL?
I personally do, but it's not my decision. But certainly from my position of influence, I think it's mission critical. I mean, you can't deny that sort of amazing television rating. And I understand we'll get the people out there, and mainly with self-interest. No offence to the camaraderie at Channel 9 and Channel 10. Of course, they've been told to downplay it and suggest it should go back to daytime because
right.
It's meant to be traditional, all of that. I would be too if I was being flogged on air like they were on Saturday night. But the reality is, that's a pretty compelling case. I mean, that was a pretty compelling. And at halftime, everybody got to see what could magically appear for 11 minutes.
Oh, that was awesome.
Blow the place apart. It gave Brisbane a really huge send-off, and we gave Brisbane, you know, a really big moment in their special week.
I think you're talking about Shepherd. And, mate, for mine, out of all of the bands that performed over the AFL and NRL Grand Final weekend, have a listen to these guys. I thought they were the standout best on ground by a million miles. Have a listen. So good. And again,
Luke.
Yeah, mate.
It doesn't matter what you and I think. Go and have a look at Spotify. Go and have a look at the charts.
Right.
I mean, those two songs in the last 3 days have all gone into the top five.
Is that right?
So again, people who are voting with their feet rather than just jumping onto a keyboard or jumping onto their phone, giving their expert opinion, which counts for 2/5 of
bugger all. Hey, we can open the phones up here. 13-27-10. What do you think won the day in the entertainment stakes, pre-match entertainment for AFL and NRL? Who was better, the AFL or the NRL? 13-27-10. Before we let you go, Tony, what did you make of the NRL entertainment?
Oh, mate, to be honest, I didn't watch it. We had a very late lunch yesterday up in Bris Vegas to celebrate.
Good
and
on you.
By the time I got home, the game was well and truly underway. So
you missed it.
I can't give a judgment either way. But I'm sure they did their best. I mean, that's what artists do. You know, you've got to remember, Luke, we've had a terrible year in the entertainment business. A lot of these performers haven't been working. All the backstage crews and everybody associated haven't been working. So I don't care whether it was the NRL Grand Final, the AFL Grand Final. We got some Australian artists and the people behind the scenes into real work. They actually had a job on the weekend, and that's a big step back.
Not only that, mate, you showcased Queensland unbelievably well, and I hope you're proud of yourself, mate, because you bloody well should be. You did us all proud. Thanks for your time, Tony. Appreciate it.
All the best, Luke. Take care.
There he goes, Tony Cochran. And, let's take your calls. Who won the day?
I was out at Metricon Stadium for the AFL Grand Final, and it was such a shame. Remember, it bucketed down, mate. On Saturday afternoon, it absolutely poured down. And they'd sold 3,500 tickets. Or I shouldn't say sold because it was a free event, but they'd given away 3,500 tickets so that you could go and watch the game there on the big screen and have a kick on Metricon Stadium. And I did the weather for Channel 9 out there. There was only a couple of hundred people there at best. It was such a shame because it was such a great setup. And I hope that the Gold Coast Suns continue to do that because Mother Nature was not friendly, but it was a good spectacle despite the fact that Mother Nature rained literally on the parade. But what was the best entertainment? In the AFL, here's a little sample. You had Wolf Mother rocking it out big time. This was good. Busby Maru were great as well. But I don't know, the NRL for mine, here's Amy Shark. I know she's a Gold Coast girl, I've got to be parochial. It'd be boring. Have a listen. A lot of people liked it, but I don't know, I'm a rock and roller myself, so. Joan from Upper Coomera's call through. Go ahead, Joan. We're going to throw the power over to you. Who gave us the better show, the AFL or the NRL? What do you say?
Look, I have to say the AFL. I'm an ex-Victorian but lived up here for 35 years and I think they did an awesome job. The government, the AFL, I think Victoria should be very, very happy, the performance that we put on up here. And the entertainment was I just loved it. Hey, Norma family did too.
Good on you, Joan. I'll tell you what, I just heard a real class act. I saw them, both sides make a tunnel for Gary Ablett to walk off. What I was unaware of, I thought that was a real class act, but what I was unaware of was the story behind both the Geelong and the Richmond players making that tunnel for Gary Ablett. That was that idea was born from the Richmond Tigers captain. And not only did they make that announcement to Geelong that they wanted to do something for Gary Ablett, but they took off their premiership medallions so that they weren't rubbing it into the face of Gary Ablett when he walked off the field there at the Gabba for the final time. That's a class act, mate. Adrian from Narang's called through. Who do you give it to, mate? Who was better, the NRL or the AFL?
Oh, AFL hands down.
Really? Are you an AFL fan or your rugby league?
I am an AFL fan, right. But I do enjoy the NRL. But the entertainment, I was just putting me to sleep beforehand.
Yeah, it was a bit, weird, wasn't it? But I tell you what, it ended up being an awesome game at the end. Hey, thanks for your call, mate. Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Cruising into work today, I went past Narrowneck, and the lifeguard tower at Narrowneck, and I'm not kidding. I don't know if you've got any Christmas music there, but arc it up. The lifeguard tower at Narrowneck has got Christmas decorations all over it, and it has done since the weekend. What are we? We're the 26th of October. 2 months, mate, exactly. That's too early, isn't it? Mate, they've got it dressed up a bit like a Christmas tree. They've got tinsel all around it, and I'm not sure if it's just the Narrowneck lifeguard tower or if all of our lifeguard towers have got the Christmas decorations up. But I'm here to tell you, we have not had Melbourne Cup yet. Melbourne Cup's next week. And fair dinkum, it's too bloody early. My opinion.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Stoked to chat to this guy because, we've forgotten with all the, with all the action over the weekend with the NRL and the NRL and AFL grand finals, we forget we got a state election this weekend. And it's getting down to the business end of the season. This man knows a bit about rugby league and a whole heap about politics. He's actually the deputy leader of the LNP, Tim Mander. G'day, mate. How are you?
Good, Luke. How are you, mate?
Good. Where are you at the moment?
Mate, I'm in my electorate of Everton, which is in the northwest suburbs of Brisbane.
Yeah.
So we're out, people are voting early, mate. There's pre-polls. We're out there pressing the flesh and talking to people, and it's bloody hot, mate.
Isn't it? Hey, so what about that? Let's get to the footy first of all. Now, a lot of people might not know this, but Tim Mander, he was a referee before he got into politics. He refereed, I think, was it the 2004, 2005 grand final you reffed?
You got it, Luke. Yeah, those two grand finals. I think the Bulldogs 104 and the Tigers 105.
Oh, that's when they got... Yeah, that was that Benji Flick pass. You reffed that one.
Benji Flick pass, mate, yeah.
How did you rate last night's refereeing performance in the grand final?
Oh, mate, look, I think they got the big calls right. I mean, the penalty try call early on is a pretty big deal, and that was a correct decision. Look, always in these games, there's little decisions that, that they might miss, and hopefully they go both ways. I think generally they did okay. They definitely didn't have an influence on the result of the game, which is the main thing.
Well, the big story, though, this afternoon, Tim, is there's audio that's just surfaced of Cam Smith giving it to the referee. Now, at the end of the game, for all money, it was a pretty boring grand final up until the last 10 minutes when all of a sudden it was a game. And then we had that that incredible finish to the game where, we had that kickoff and the Penny Panthers had to score from the kickoff. But in the lead up to that, Cam Smith sort of accused the referee of giving penalties to Penrith and sending players off from the Melbourne Storm to try and make the game interesting. Have a listen to this. Have a listen to this audio, Tim.
We have a decision.
I reckon the last three or four penalties that they've got, you're picking up little, very picky stuff, and we've got nothing.
Yep, thank you, Chids.
Yep. We've got nothing, mate.
Well,
I get it.
Listen, I'll talk to you about this decision.
We're working just
Cameron, Jerome initially turns towards the ball, but then he makes a movement back. It's a professional foul.
He sends him off for 10 minutes. What do you make of that, Tim? How would you have handled Cam Smith last night?
Luke, that has been happening since 1908, mate. That is not unusual. So that would happen all the time. Mate, the most common thing you'd get from a captain is, mate, the penalty counts against us and you're not giving us a fair go, mate. And if I had a dollar for every time that a captain said that to me, mate, I'd be a very rich man. And what was great is that the referee ignored him and still sent the bloke to the bin. And from memory, I didn't hear that, but from memory, I saw that when he sent him to the bin that... Cameron Smith, he was just gobsmacked.
Yeah, he started laughing.
I mean, in the end, the referees you know, always wins because they have the final say. So, mate, that's not unusual. I'm not surprised by that at all. All captains, if you had audio on the captains all the time, that is normal fare, mate. So
fair enough. All right. Yeah. Okay, we've got the election on. I guess we better touch on politics. We've got the election on here. This is the way I'm thinking, Tim. Down here on the coast, we all vote LNP, so you guys don't need to do much down here. Everyone votes for LNP anyway.
Well, we need that to happen across the state, right, Luke. I mean, the issue we have at the moment, mate, is that we are basically, and this is prior to COVID, we are the economic basket case of the nation. We've got the highest unemployment. And we've had that for 4 or 5 years. We've had the highest number of bankruptcies. We've had the lowest level of business confidence. And we've got the highest debt. And if we don't change the government, it's only going to get worse. And that's why we're asking people to give a party a go that's actually got a plan to create the jobs that are necessary for the future. And the LNP's outlined that very, very clearly, that we do have an economic plan. We cannot have another 4 years of what we had over the last 5 years.
All right. Well, good on you, Tim. On the weekend, how's your seat, mate? What sort of swing have you got? You got a safe seat or you're a marginal one?
No, there's no such thing as a safe seat, mate. I've got 5% margin, but I just do not take anything for granted. And I've been the member for the last 8.5 years and really privileged to be that. I'm a local. I've lived in this area all my life. I want to keep serving here because I've got unfinished business.
Well, good on you, Tim. Thanks for your time, the Sava, mate. Really appreciate it.
All the best, mate. No probs.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Grand final done and dusted. League is not over yet. In fact, I reckon it just gets a whole heap better. An interesting, very interesting State of Origin campaign getting underway next Wednesday, and a real Gold Coast flavour to it because the Queenslanders are here on the Gold Coast. This is their base. In fact, travelling into work today, I went past this bus and it's the official State of Origin bus. They were at the post office of Bundle, the boys. Dobbo's covering it. He's been camped out the front like a mad stalker. NRL's best insider. G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, g'day, Luke. How are you? And look, we had the entree last night. Here comes the main course for 3 more weeks. I mean, rugby league in November, is there anything better? Remembering Game 3, Suncorp Stadium, 18th of November, you bloody beauty. And it all starts now. Queensland had their first official training session today at Cbus. Mal Meninga, obviously Neil Henry and the great Wayne Bennett on hand. Now, the 6 players from last night's grand final that got added to this squad, Brenko Lee, Kurt Capel, Cameron Munster, Felice Kafusi, Christian Walsh and Tino Fasua-Mahaly, were all not present. Huh. Now, there is some hoping that they'll turn up later in the week, but other than that, everybody else was on hand.
Hey, Dobbo, so, you know, like as a youngster, I'm an old runaway Bay Seagull, and it was awesome, mate. Like back in the day, they used to have the Queensland State of Origin side train on Bycroft Oval there at Runaway Bay, and we'd all be able to go down and watch them, and it was awesome. These training sessions that they're having at Cbus, are they open to the public or are they closed sessions?
I think there will be some open, but obviously with COVID restrictions.
Oh,
and everything,
of course. Yeah.
It's a little bit different to the normal circumstances. I mean, these guys can't even go to the beach. They're staying at the Mirage at Sheraton. They're not even allowed to go to the beach. That's dead set.
They'd be better off whacking them up the hinterland or somewhere. I mean, it's sort of like going to a buffet when you're starving and being told you can't eat anything. I mean, they're right on the beach and they can't go for a dip.
Can't go in the surf. No, not allowed because of COVID restrictions. I don't know if they walk across the stand and somebody else could be. But anyway, that's the thing. I think congratulations, and obviously people are going to be polarised by this, but we all saw that phenomenal Netflix series of the Ashes and the Australian Test team where we saw that they had inside vision of Justin Langer as the Australian cricket team prepared for that match and everything that went on around that. Well, Channel 9 and Carl Stefanovic pitched that to the NRL to do a inside look of the Queensland Origin camp for this whole campaign to Game 1. And they would have had 6 film crew in there following Wayne Bennett, following all the team for this first 10 days. The NRL said, we love the idea. What they forgot to do was have a discussion with Wayne Bennett before they said they loved the idea. And it won't be happening. Oh. Wayne won't be told them to get effed. it won't be happening. I spoke to Wayne about it, and he said, There's no way anybody will be coming in and filming my meetings. There will be no way that will be happening. And so it got knocked on the head. You want to talk about power? Wayne Bennett was, he overruled a decision made on behalf of the QRL. The NRL made it with conjunction with the rights holders, Channel 9, and Wayne Bennett won. It's not happening.
Well, I mean, that's a real shame, Dobbo, because I heard it was going to be sort of in the style of The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary, as well as that cricket one that you mentioned. And, like, for me, as a sort of peripheral basketball fan, it turned me into a, you know, fully-fledged basketball fan again. And who knows what audience this may have exposed us to if Bennett had given it the go-ahead. That's a real shame. But, mate, you as a rugby league insider, what sort of access do you get to the team in these COVID times, given that we're not going to have the documentary crew there, obviously?
No, only hiding in between bushes. I'm in the outer, mate. I'm not even allowed anywhere near it. But don't worry, never fear. I'm going to get in there somehow. But I'm all over the phone and Zoom at the moment.
Hey, one final question for you, Dobbo. I've seen all over social media the Melbourne Storm boys celebrating, and they've got these weird goggles on their face. What are the? Yep. I don't know, if you haven't seen it, you might not know what I'm talking about.
They're ski goggles. And the reference is in. And you'll laugh at this, in the NBA, because they do it bigger and better, they became fashionable because LeBron James and all the superstars didn't want to get champagne in their eyes because they sting. So Puma, very funnily, made the right decision and said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make sure whoever wins, everybody gets a set of ski goggles, these unbelievable ski goggles. So hence why the Melbourne Storm singing Country Roads by John Denver with ski goggles in the change rooms last night. There's some phenomenal videos of Brandon Smith nursing the Telstra Premiership like a baby, feeding a beer, singing Country Roads with his goggles on, the big cheese, which is just unreal.
It was unreal. I was perplexed by the ski goggles, but I'm glad you mentioned that for me because I had no understanding what it was all about.
You ever had champagne in the eyes, mate?
Never had it, mate, but I'll tell you what, the biggest pussy I've ever seen in Australian sport was Michael Clarke. As our Australian cricket captain, he put out something on social media where he was cutting onions with swimming goggles on. So he goes, I've learned how not to cry. And I went, you big giant pussy. These boys can go out there and tackle the big hooers from Penrith Panthers, but they can't get champagne in their eyes? You're cracking.
That's why they're wearing the goggles, mate. It stings.
Hey, good on you, Dobbo. I love your work, mate. We'll catch up with you as you continue stalking the Queensland State of Origin side.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Got renos going at my place. We're renovating an old bathroom and I had to go and buy a toilet. And I told you last week I had a very embarrassing moment at one of the bathroom shops here. It was at Bundle. I went in there and they have a bidet for sale. And I've used a bidet. Honestly, I don't know if you've ever used one. And they sound a bit creepy, but I'm telling you, they're actually really good. These things, they shoot water up your jacksy. And I get embarrassed even talking about it, but It actually is good. It feels good. And it's clean. It's really clean. Don't be filthy, mate. I'm just telling you the story. Anyway, so I go into this shop and they've got a bidet for sale. And I wasn't specifically looking for a bidet, but I saw it there for sale. And I started checking it out. Sales guy comes over and I looked at the price and it was a bit exy. It was $940. And so he's telling me how great it is and all this sort of stuff. And then I'm sort of halfway, I'm half sold, ready to buy the thing. For $940, and then I looked closer, and it wasn't $940, it was $9,400, and I just couldn't get out of there quick enough. And over the weekend, I had to go buy, I was like, who would spend 10 grand on a toilet? Are you joking? The reno's not costing $10,000, let alone just the toilet. So then I went with my fiance, we went to this other place on Saturday morning, and my God, I walked in, and I nearly threw up. And I'm not sure if this is a common occurrence, but if someone works in a bathroom shop, I'm sure they could tell me. No, you don't know where I'm going. It's not as bad as you. I know where you're going. It's not as bad as that. I get in there and there's a guy who's he's a couple of kilo overweight. That's the politest way I can say it. He's a big boy, right? He's a big boy. He needs to buy a toilet. And what he's doing, mate, is he's going from toilet to toilet in the showroom and sitting on them. Like, he'd sit on them to see if he was comfy or not. And short of whacking out a newspaper and just really, you know, getting into the spirit of things, it really grossed me out. So he was sitting on the toilet, okay, and then his missus was with him going, how's that feel, love? And he's going, yeah, this one's not too bad. Feel this one's more comfortable than the other. Let me get back on the other one. Then he'd get back on the other one. Like, he had his pants on and everything. I'm not saying he was... But he'd get back on the other one. He'd go, well, this one's not as comfortable. Let me get back. No, this one's definitely more comfortable. So that one's more comfortable, love. Yeah, this one's more comfortable. And it's just the whole scene. Like, I know I'm going to buy a toilet without sitting on it first to see if it's like how... You know what it feels like. I don't know if, I don't know if I'm just a pussy because that grossed me out. But, mate, I had to leave the shop. I was going to throw up.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
In amongst all the AFL and NRL grand final action on the weekend, you might have missed what was an awesome finish. Northcliffs, one of Northcliffs' finest, Matty Bevilacqua, the reigning Coolangatta Gold champion. He was in the inaugural big race that they had up on the Sunshine Coast over the weekend. They called it the Unbreakable Ironman Race. And he's winning the race, and he almost cost himself victory right at the end. Matty's joining us right now. G'day, Matty. How are you, mate?
Hey, Luke. Very well, mate. How are you?
What happened, mate? I'm good, mate. What happened? What happened near the end?
Look, it was an awesome event. You know, Alex Surf Club put it on in the replacement of the Coolangatta Gold, and it was an hour and a half, so there was a lot of weird different interchanges in front of Alex Surf Club there, and we actually didn't even start at the start line at Alex Surf Club. We paddled downwind to start the event, so, you know, the transition was kind of alien. You didn't get to see it. So that's my excuse anyway, mate, but I didn't run down the right finish seat. Well, I just got directed down the right finish chute in the hectic sprint finish.
So you're in a sprint finish and you go the wrong direction.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of, you know, when you're on the edge of, I think everyone knows the feeling when you're at that complete edge of exertion, you know, all you're thinking about is getting past that guy in front of you or taking that step in front of you to make sure you're going over the line. Everything else is kind of secondary, you know, I guess. It almost cost me.
Unreal. But you got there, mate. Congratulations. So what happened after the race, mate? Were you guys able to kick back and enjoy yourself, watch the NRL Grand Final?
Yeah, it was a great day, actually. The podium of us, you know, cleaned up 10 grand. So
thanks
to the sponsors for that. And we sat around on the couch and watched the granny. So, yeah, it was a win all round. It was a great day and an awesome weekend, you know. And, you know, we really missed out on that Coolangatta Gold race. And so it was good to put that training into effect that we'd put in anyway. And it's, good to have leverage on that leading into the Niche Game Series this summer.
Hey, good on you, mate. And can't wait for that to get underway. Thanks for your time, Savo, Matty. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Luke. Cheers, mate.
And that is it for us today. Thank you so much for your company today. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon from 4 for your local live and local drive home. Cop you then. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.